Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Governor Dayton, thank you for joining Jordana and me and our listeners on CCO.
Very glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So the obvious question, will you veto this tax conformity bill passed by the House, passed by the Senate?
Yes, I will. I'll do a veto tomorrow morning at elementary school to dramatize what I'm pushing for, which is to take some of that money they're giving in tax breaks to multinational corporations and put those on behalf of our school children all over the state and forestall some of the really draconian cuts, layoffs of teachers, cutbacks in curriculum and other services, larger class sizes, all of which are going to come down next fall on the heads of these school children if the legislature doesn't revamp its priorities.
Governor, what are you hearing from your constituents? Obviously, you must be getting deluged with callers, with Minnesotans on both sides of this issue, but are you hearing a consistent theme?
Well, anybody who has children in public schools throughout the state and anybody who's a teacher or an educator and knows what's at stake here. This is very real. And Minneapolis-St. Paul, of course, are facing drastic cuts, which my emergency school aid won't entirely cover, but it'll help. And other school districts, it'll make up the deficits. So that one third grade teacher in Winona told me he has a class of 17 this year. And if the cuts go through next fall, his class size will be 29. So this is very real, very drastic for parents and for their children and for everybody involved in education. And I just, you know, my proposal is $138 million, but there's $200 million that the legislature, their tax bill, gives to multinational corporations to avoid taxes on their repatriated corporate profits. I mean, they don't want to pay taxes on their profits. It's just insane. And meanwhile, they say there's not enough money for the schools. Well, that's just not true.
And we're talking 59 schools here, specifically.
That's the number we've documented have deficits. And there are other schools that are probably in that situation. There are others that are having to cut back to avoid going into deficits. I mean, the schools of, you know, I was four schools last week, elementary schools, St. Cloud and Marshall and, you know, the kids are wonderfully diverse, but, you know, half or more are from other countries. English second language is a crying need. Eligibility for reduced price lunches because of poverty is staggeringly high. Their children who don't have homes. So what the schools are dealing with these days and doing their utmost is just really, I guess, beyond the comprehension of a lot of legislators who really just don't understand the nature of this crisis. But it's very real, and the schools need the resources to avoid, at the worst possible time, making these kind of cuts.
Governor, I know you told the Star Tribune that some of these legislators are beholden to special interests and lobbyists. The Senate Taxes Committee Chairman Roger Chamberlain said, no, that's not true, that this bill is actually, it's bipartisan, or it's a compromise between what you want and what they want. Which legislators in particular do you feel are beholden to special interests? Which special interests? And what are we missing here? Is it not a compromise?
Well, there's no compromise when we haven't sat down to negotiate with me. They sat down themselves, the two tax chairs, behind closed doors, not even in a public conference committee, and decided what they were going to do. And you know, they took a couple things that I'd proposed, but basically it's their bill, their way, and they want me to sign it. Well, even if you had the agreement on the school aid, I still need to have serious negotiations on this bill. It's skewed to the wealthiest taxpayers who get more of the income tax cuts than middle-income families. And then it's skewed, worst of all, the corporations. As I said, $200 million of tax exemption for multinational companies that are repatriating their foreign profits. I mean, who can justify that at the expense of our school kids?
Just getting back to the likely veto on the tax cut, my question is, what comes next? Are you going to propose a special legislative session? How do we move forward after this veto?
Well, I hope we will move forward. I had breakfast with the four caucus leaders on Tuesday morning. I made it very clear, as I've said before, that I won't consider a tax bill. I won't sign it unless or until they add the emergency school aid. There's plenty of money available through the tax bill and through the budget surplus that we've built up to accommodate that. And if they're willing to agree to that, you know, to accept my top priority, I'm willing to sit down with them and talk about the tax bill, which is one of their top priorities. I've always said compromise means you agree two things you don't agree with. And I'm asking them to compromise not on my behalf, but on behalf of the students of Minnesota to provide better quality education. If that's something they're not can't see fit to do themselves for its own sake, to meet me halfway, and I'll meet them halfway on their tax bill, and we can work it out in the remaining 5 days of the legislative session and have a tax bill done. But if you know they're going to just, I've had done this before where I go to say, I'll meet you at the 50-yard line, and I'm standing there, and they're still locked in the end zone and willing to budge. So, you know, it really is up to them to decide whether we get a tax bill and get a constructive end to this session.
5 days, that'd be pretty speedy. That'd be impressive if you got it done.
Well, I've seen them move faster.
Talk to us about this other legislative bill that you vetoed today. This bill would have made a requirement for doctors to ask any abortion-seeking patient whether or not they want to see an ultrasound of the fetus. Why the veto?
Well, if you look at the state statute dealing with terminating pregnancies, there's just a whole roster of prescriptions that what doctors must do, cannot do, et cetera. And this would just be one more add-on, which both the Minnesota Medical Association and the Minnesota Division of the National Obstetrics Physicians oppose, because it interferes with the doctor-patient relationship. You know, the doctors have their patients' best interests first and foremost, and I think we could. I'd rather rely on the medical ethics than the Minnesota legislature's idea of what should happen in a doctor's office.
Governor, we don't often get to ask you about national or international politics. A lot happened this week with the embassy moving to Jerusalem, as well as a possible breakdown of talks between the U.S. and North Korea. We'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, I thought it was really an amazing breakthrough. I give credit to President Trump for North Korea to get them to come to a negotiating table, and I was distraught to see them say that they might cancel that if certain conditions aren't met. I think they need to sit down, and they obviously both have terms they're going to want to advise, but, you know, as Winston Churchill said, you're better to jaw than to war. And, you know, I've been up in the demilitarized zone. I've seen how close it is to Republic of Korea, Seoul, and their populations, and you know nobody wants to play around with that kind of hair trigger, which could precipitate a much broader nuclear war worldwide. In terms of the Middle East, Israel, I think that it would have been more prudent to leave the embassy in Tel Aviv. I mean, look at the carnage that resulted with the protests. You know, that's just driving people farther apart. So I would not have supported that. But, you know, we need peace on the planet, and we need to recognize just how precarious our situation is with more and more countries having nuclear capabilities and more and more terrorists with access to being able to build them. And we need to remember, as I remember back from the Cuban Missile Crisis, back when I was in fifth grade, whatever, and they told us to hide under our desks and put our hands over our head in case of a nuclear attack. It was not very reassuring. And we've forgotten, I think, as a society, how perilously close we were to a nuclear holocaust, and how we just need to take every step at the international level with that first and foremost in mind.
Governor Dayton, thank you for joining Jordana and me and all our listeners on CCO today. We certainly wish you the best, sir.
Thank you both.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.